2:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set." Now, what's a landmark? A landmark is used to set boundaries. When my dad was a teenager, he set landmarks. A surveyor would pay him $15 per landmark. They would show him where to put it in, they'd dig it out, they'd set it. Once that landmark was set, that showed the corners of the property, and you draw a line from them, that showed the borders. Now, what would happen if I decided I wanted more land? I took that landmark, I dug it up, and I moved it. Who would judge where that land should be? Who would judge if that landmark was where it was intended to be? Furthermore, if a foreign nation came in and took over all the land for themselves and conquered America, making landmarks moot, what would happen then? Who would stop that from happening? Who would protect us? The landmarks would be permanently removed. Today, we celebrate Memorial Day. We celebrate in honor of the soldiers who died protecting our national landmarks, protecting our way of life, protecting what we believe in as a country, bounded by God under godly principles. They protect the landmarks from fraud or foreign invaders, or they protect landmark decisions of our court, making it what it is today. Originally called Decoration Day, on May 30th, 1868, General John Logan called for a day to decorate the graves of those fallen in a civil war. General James Garfield spoke on that first one. There were 5,000 participants. They remembered those who fought and died for what they believed in, and to protect those that were left behind. Our country was established on landmarks of law. We have a Constitution. Sometimes it seems like they ignore the Constitution, but we have it. It is still there. We have a Bill of Rights. We are a nation of laws. They protect the landmarks of my property from criminals. We are a nation which protects its own. We have a very strong military, the strongest military on earth. And that military is used to make sure that foreign invaders cannot come in and steal the landmarks from my property. Not all countries are so lucky. In many African countries, the government took over many rich farms, removed the landmarks completely, killed the people, and gave the land away to someone else. In South America, many companies are nationalized. Well, you make too much money. Therefore, we're going to take it over, and we'll give the profits to the people. Those countries do not do well, because there are no landmarks to set what they do. We must work hard in this country to ensure all our landmarks, physical, legal, spiritual, and cultural, are not removed. God set this country up in a certain way. If we follow those ways, we will prosper. If we remove those landmarks and follow some other way, we will go be one more country in the dustbin of history. Today we honor the fallen soldiers who gave all to protect our landmarks from all enemies, foreign and domestic. We pray their sacrifice is not in vain. We pray our current soldiers are kept safe. I never want another soldier memorialized on Memorial Day. I would love all soldiers only to be remembered on Veterans Day. But until Jesus Christ returns, until Jesus Christ puts all enemies under his feet, until Jesus Christ makes peace on earth forever, unfortunately, we will have Memorial Days. But we need to stand vigilant that their labors, the ones who give their lives to keep me safe, are not in vain. Now, we look at Memorial Day in the United States of America. But you know what? I'm not a citizen of the United States. If you're saved, you're not a citizen of the United States of America. You're strangers in a strange land. Our landmarks are spiritual. We have enemies, both foreign and domestic, attacking. Let us remember those who have fought for our spiritual landmarks. With those, turn to the book of Jude, verses 3 to 16. Jude is a book not often used in Scripture. In sermons. Often used in Scripture. Not often used in sermons, but there is a lot packed in this book. So Jude, the last book before Revelation, which is fitting because I see what he's talking about is going to happen right before the Revelation. He starts in verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men,
turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, beating themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Dear Heavenly Father, as we look today on Memorial Day, and we look at these brute beasts, these people are trying to tear up the landmarks of your church, trying to remove the landmarks and make it so that they can accommodate the world for wealth, for profit, for power. Not glorifying you, Lord, but glorifying themselves. Lord, we have seen you raise up saints to defend your church. We know that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church because you've promised it. But Lord, you use us to be the watchmen on the wall, to be the ones that will take the battle to these ungodly people. We'll make it so that your church will be presented to you as a chaste virgin when you return. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, teach us your way, show us how to be soldiers in your battle, and allow us to honor those who have gone before us, who have given their lives for the faith, that we may be encouraged and may stand in the place that they have fallen and do the same thing. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, our better country is heaven. Now, I don't want to be a citizen of the United States forever. I'm looking at this country. It's not what I want to spend the rest of my life in, the rest of my eternal life, I should say. Our better country is heaven. Our God has set the landmarks of that particular country. Our God protects the landmarks of heaven. Our Christ is giving us a mansion marked with certain landmarks that we will have. Our Constitution, the Bible. Our police force and judges are the church under the laws set up by our Constitution. Our military guarding our country's landmarks are different parts of the church. Now, we have an army, we have a navy, we have a marine, we have an air force. Well, the church has the same thing. God uses those in different parts of his church to protect the landmarks of his church. Our captain of our salvation, is Jesus Christ. Our officers, we read about, are angels. We are foot soldiers in this war, fighting as one and court-martialing those who would desert. Our country lost many soldiers in the Revolutionary War, establishing our country. Our church lost many in establishing the church. Every apostle, save John, was martyred. Both countries we belong to have lost soldiers in every era it has existed. Soldiers in every war. We still have wars going on. Saints in every age. Read about the history of the church, the Colosseum, the jails. They were burned at the stake. They were killed by Muslim countries. Right now we have ISIS beheading them. It's going to continue until Christ returns. As I said, we are still losing soldiers. We are still losing saints. Until he returns, all of them, both countries will continue to lose them. Let's honor their sacrifices. Let's ensure their labors are not in vain. Let us realize that they had a commitment that was greater than themselves, and let us use their example to exhort each other to the battle that those landmarks will not be removed, and give our sacrifice if needed. We need to do our part to ensure those landmarks stay until he returns, earnestly contending for the faith, as Jude says. Let us contend, first of all, by our Constitution. Second of all, in the world. And third of all, we fight enemies foreign and domestic in our church. So by our Constitution, in every single war, there are rules of engagement. We fight the enemy the way our captain informs us to fight him. We fight the way our captain leads us, looking at the targets that he tells us to go after. We do not fight based on our own ideas. We remember Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We must fight the way our captain calls us to his victory. The war is won, but the Battle of Newport and Claremont rages on. If we follow our captain, who is called the Word in John 1:1, he has given us the victory, and we will see victory here in Claremont and Newport based on how we will glorify his holy name. And we follow his word in order to fight lawfully. Our Constitution, once again, is written by Jesus Christ himself. He wrote in Proverbs of Solomon seeking wisdom. He wrote through David in the Psalms how to live for God. Read Psalm 119. It may take you a day or two. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. But read Psalm 119. You'll see David's heart, how to live for God. In verse 97, it said it was his meditation. In verse 9, it was the way to cleanse his life. It was hid in his heart in verse 11. Why? That he might not sin against God, that he'd be a righteous soldier in his army. It made him stronger than his enemies in verse 98. And it was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path in verse 105. It was a way that David ordered his life in order to be used by his captain to fight the battles that God had for him. And he had victory in those battles. Our country is heaven. Our Constitution is the Bible. And its time, eternal. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You want to be a good soldier? Have salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We find his commandments by his words, keeping them that we may be rewarded and not called least in the kingdom of heaven. He shows us how to do the battle. I'm a pretty smart guy. I have my own ideas. I've tried them. I got lots of bumps in my head because of it. Now, in the United States of America, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Anyone ever heard that? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I didn't know the speed limit wasn't 100 miles an hour here. I'm going to get a ticket for doing 135 zone, whether I knew it or not. Would we expect anything less in the church, in God's perfect church? We only defeat ignorance by studying his word. We only follow what he says by following his word. We are Bereans. We test everything by scripture. Our founding document is the Bible. Our only guide to faith and practice is the Bible. We order our lives by it, contend for the faith according to it, and fight as it commands. Let us learn from all we can from it that we may fight lawfully, we may fight legally, and we will see victory in the battle of Claremont and Newport. So, we fight enemies, both foreign and domestic. Foreign, we look at the world. Satan has a frontal assault against the church. There's no question about it. Satan is trying to destroy the landmarks as a foreign invader, plucking them all up that he may change them to put his own landmarks down. There's a book back in the 80s, Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. It's dated a little bit, but the title is very applicable today. Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. Just because people laugh at him, just because people say that he doesn't really exist, he's a figment of our imagination in fundamentalist churches, that doesn't make him any less real. In fact, he loves it. Because if people don't think he exists, he can do whatever he wants. He is marshaling his forces to try to totally remove the landmarks from the church. He attacks us directly with laws, fines, university teaching, schools, judges allowing all the ungodly laws and acts to stand, with ungodly business practices, ungodly entertainment, and ungodly politicians doing all they can to work for Satan. He's paid them well. Now, we've discussed Romans 1 a lot lately, Romans 1 being the chapter of the reprobate mind. Satan is seeking people to worship anything but God. And he is amassing his forces and will eventually have them at the Battle of Armageddon. He will lose. But in the meantime, how will we stand? When we look at the battle that's amassed in front of us, we look at the principalities, at the powers, at the spiritual wickedness in high places, and I'm one insignificant pastor in an insignificant church, how do we stand? We take heart in those who have come before us. Are these not Galileans? Remember what that means? Are these not hillbillies? And they're the ones that turn the world upside down? You want to turn the world upside down? Follow his commands. We conquer Satan with our lives, just like they conquer Satan with their lives. They died for a cause that was greater than them, and they brought people to Christ because of it. Our captain should be remembered and praised every day for his death, what he did for us. Why do you think we're going to serve communion? We're going to have communion right after the closing hymnal because it's Memorial Day. That's the greatest memorial of all time. Why do you think he has us do that? Because we are people of short memories. We think, what has God done for me lately? I don't have my Corvette. I prayed for it, and I don't have it yet. What has he done for me lately? We remember in communion what he did for us for all eternity. As 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That's the greatest memorial day, and that should happen every single day. We should praise him every single day for his death, burial, and resurrection. We've won the war because of it. We hold ground in Claremont, Newport, by our lives in his service, glorifying him as he protects his church from the very gates of hell. Conquering death, as Romans 8:36 says, we are killed all the day long for his sake. Now, Patton said that you don't win a war by dying for your country. You win a war by making the other person die for his country. That's true in a physical sense. It's not true in a spiritual sense. Because my life here is a whisper. Eternity is what is important. I die by doing whatever God has me to do, whether it's to die, whether it's to live, whatever he has me to do. And I'm willing to give my life in that service because it's a cause far greater than me. We read of Stephen, John the Baptist, James, and all the apostles, save John, martyred for the faith, all fighting for a cause far greater than themselves, and all knowing their labor was not in vain, knowing that they will be rewarded and glorified with him. Now, do we think the battle's over? Brother Bill taught the Trail of Blood when the church was new, was young. We read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That trail is still in existence. You don't believe me? Go try to start a church in Saudi Arabia. See how far you get. Satan has not quit the battle. He still thinks he can win by removing every landmark out there. We talked today downstairs, this is going to be in the next section more, but we talked today about Satan's favorite religion is Christianity. Because he has a lot of fun splitting us all up, dividing us, removing those landmarks, and making us accommodate to the world. But now he's using ISIS to kill Christians wherever they can. He's using fear. Think of Columbine. The Columbine killers killed that one little girl because she would not deny Christ. You know what? She was a soldier in the army that we need to memorialize, we need to remember, and we need to take heart from and encourage ourselves with. because she'll have a greater resurrection and we will see her in heaven. As Satan attacks, we need to hold the line, willing to give our lives to be used by Jesus to protect his church, remembering all those that have gone before us. Just like we do in this country, United States, we need to remember all those brave men who died that I can stand here and talk about the gospel. They protected our physical lives. The martyrs have protected our spiritual lives. We know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to ensure their labor is not in vain as we place ourselves on the line for his name. They died for a cause greater than themselves. And I ask you today, is there not a cause? This is kind of the closing of the last 2 weeks we've been talking about, fitting for Memorial Day. So we look at Satan. He's attacking the front lines. He's doing everything he can to destroy the church by foreign enemies. Another way you do it is by spies in the church. How do we hold the line against those who want to attack us within the body itself? Now, Bo Bergdahl wanted to accommodate the Muslims his commander told him to attack. As such, he sought to remove the landmarks by deserting and joining the Muslims, figuring if he could talk to them, he could bring the two sides together. That's not what his commander told him to do. And when he deserted, soldiers gave their lives to try to find him. Several died in searching for him. We are called to protect our country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. We do not accommodate enemies. We destroy enemies because that's what God calls us to do. Now, quite often in a spiritual battle, we conquer enemies by dying, showing others how much we love Jesus Christ. But those enemies that are domestic, they're called tares. Satan spies in the church seeking to hide or remove the ancient landmarks so they can replace them with their own ideas. The Galatians fought against the Jews, removing landmarks of grace to return them back to the law. The Colossians tried to remove landmarks to bring Gnosticism into the church. Fundamentalists have been killed from the very beginning by those trying to call themselves Christians. Whether from Constantine, the popes, the reformers, we have many who have been put to death by their faith, including in America. We've had martyrs at the founding of this country based on the trail of blood. Don't worry, it's going to get worse. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, verses 9 to 13. Chapter 24, starting in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. Do we see any people offended at Christianity today? And shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. John 16:2 adds that those who kill you will think they are actually doing God's service. Now, what did we have in the Middle Ages? We had the people supporting the Pope. They'd put fundamentalists on the stake and burn them, and they thought they were doing God's service. It's going to get worse. It's going to be all Christians, not just the fundamentalists. These false prophets seek to enlarge their power, influence, and riches by removing the ancient landmarks, unlawfully allowing others to claim to be within the kingdom and attacking anybody who says they can't be. Think about it. Look at the churches today. We have gay marriage promoted by churches. We have gay preachers, women pastors. Man is sovereign and can command God's health and wealth for themselves because he has no choice but to answer your prayer if you give it. I want that Corvette out there now, and if I have enough faith, it's going to be sitting there by the time this service is over. I have no faith, apparently. But these are the people trying to get in. They want to try to show how powerful they are. And guess what? We have that sign out there, Jesus wants me to have this jet. Well, Creflo-Dollar had a jet, and he's very rich. And God wants you to be rich. In fact, you send me $100, I'll show you how to be rich. That's how they do it. They're right. They do become rich by doing the gospel, by the wages of Balaam. They unlawfully allow others to claim to be in the kingdom, and they laugh at Scripture as being too limiting for our tolerant and coexisting church. Look at me. I've enlarged my borders by moving the landmarks so the world can come in. I have 40,000 people in my pews. How can I possibly be wrong? Well, let's see, there are 3 billion Muslims in the world. How can 3 billion people possibly be wrong? Numbers is not what God looks at. Faith is what God looks at. Peter talks to these spies in 2 Peter chapter 2, the entire chapter. But in verse 15 specifically, he talks about those which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They pick the scriptures out that will help them be powerful and rich, and they ignore everything else. Now, Jesus Christ was very rich. He showed lots of faith. He flew around in jets and everything. No, wait a second. He didn't have a place to put his head. He had no home. If Jesus Christ, our captain, had no riches, had no earthly power, do we expect to have any? I follow a commander who's fighting a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. He will give us what we need to fight that battle, but he's not going to make us rich because of it. The Bible shows the proper borders of the church, a spiritual land fully separate from the carnal world. But the love of the world, which John 2:15 warns of, says this, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I enjoy the world. Make no mistake. I look out there and I see all the things that are happening out there. I look at how we're destroying God's beautiful creation. He gave us mountains to enjoy. He gave us rivers to enjoy. He gave us all these brilliant things. I love those parts of the world. But I love not the world's system. I love not the world that wants to take credit for itself, that wants to enrich itself apart from the Bible. That's the part of the world I do not like. Verse 17 adds that the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father, will of God, abideth forever. You know, I love to read of those who died for the faith, of their great testimony, of John Huss, who was burned at the stake for standing against the Pope, of William Tyndale, strangled for bringing the Word of God to common people, of those in Rome singing praises as lions munched on their shoulders in the Colosseum, of the Anabaptists, drowned by the Reformers for standing with the Bible and refusing to accept infant baptism. People have tried to remove the ancient landmarks from the church right from the beginning. These great men stood up and said, no further. I will not allow this to happen. They stood in the gap. This is not a time to lay down arms in defense of the church. I would rather stand with these defenders and lose my carnal life and join them in front of God when I will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and I'll enjoy the Lord, instead of following these people who will hear, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. I do not want to make a trip to hell the more comfortable. I want to fight for the church and defend the walls of the church against the gates of hell. So, looking at all this, Jude called us to earnestly contend for the faith. Today, let us honor and remember those who did exactly that. They contended for the faith and they gave their life in defense of that faith, defending the church as powered by Christ. Jesus Christ first died, the apostles next, as they followed the example of the prophets, dying for their faith. And then those standing firm against evil people trying to remove God's landmark all through the ages. Each one serving a cause far greater than themselves, and we are called to serve that same cause. We're also called to protect the church from spies, tares seeking to remove those ancient landmarks laid down by Scripture in order to accommodate an evil world so they can be enriched by it. We're to endure hardness as soldiers of Jesus Christ. The battle continues even as the war is already won. Are you willing to join the ranks of faith by pledging your life to serve their cause? The cause of Christ, which must be our cause, regardless of what our captain tells us to do? No, there are mop-up battles. There are battles that are basically suicide missions. I don't know which one God is going to have us do. Are you willing to do either one as God tells you and to be rewarded by hearing those great words, well done, good, faithful servant, at his return? Or do you want to try to save your life in this carnal world? He promised if you try to do that, you'll lose it. God will put down every enemy, make no mistake. Those standing firm with him will be eternally blessed for their labors. Those on the other side, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Anyone think the day is getting closer? Let's read about them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Removing his landmarks for their own profits, they may fill pews, but they leave enemy combatants in the clutches of Satan and seek to be enriched by their treachery. As we honor those who died for the faith, let us honor them by praising God who gave them the strength and grace to handle the trials they went through. Let us honor them by continuing their fight, enjoying the fruits of being in the church, and willing to give our lives, if needed, for the cause of Christ, that it will continue. No. He's not returned yet. Why? He still has work in this earth to do. We still have a battle here we need to win. We have souls we need to save. Until he returns, that battle continues, and we need to be in the front ranks. Jesus has promised his church will stand against the very gates of hell. You either gain eternal life by giving your life in his cause, or be found a deserter, ashamed of Christ. And the Bible says if you're ashamed of Christ, he will be ashamed of you. Choose today who you will serve. With Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. With that, let us close with what every one of us needs to do with our life. Turn your hymnals to page 490.
Singing hymn number 490, Take My Life and Let It Be.
God, I pour at thy feet.
This is Memorial Day. We're going to do something completely different today. We're going to have a communion here because we need to commemorate the one death that made our victory sure, the death of Jesus Christ. Without his death, I can't be a soldier. Without his death, I have no power, no grace, no ability. And we need to remember that death forevermore, because by his death, my sins are paid for. By his resurrection, that's the first fruit, I can be a child of God. And he now, with that power, has defeated death, and I am no more than a foot soldier in his battle. Be a loyal foot soldier, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Be a deserter, you'll hear, depart from me, ye who work iniquity. So, what I want to do is I want to go into communion right now, and I want to remember our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died in our stead. One thing is, if you take communion unworthily, you will suffer. If there's anybody here who's not sure they're saved, or knows they're not saved, either one, please do not take communion. It's not denying Christ if you do that. It's actually honoring him, because you want to honor that sacrifice. So if you're not sure, please do not participate. And you can ask me later about, first of all, salvation, second of all, what communion means. And then after that, we will close in prayer. So right now, if I can call up the deacons. Those who are unfamiliar, I'm reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. The Corinthian church was a church that had failed miserably. The Corinthian church was a church that tried to move the landmarks. They tried to accommodate idolatry, and Paul came in to try to correct their errors, and he did correct their errors. 2 Corinthians is a much better book for them than 1 Corinthians, because they had repented of their sins. But one of the things they were doing wrong was communion. So we need to take communion very, very seriously. We need to look at ourselves, and we need to realize exactly why we're here. If it's not for the death of Christ, we have no business here. But by his death, we are made alive. By his stripes, we are healed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just start off. We're going to go through communion, and we'll pray for each element, and then we'll close in a prayer thanking him for his great gift. So I'm reading, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
Can't you give thanks for the body?
Lord, today we take time and we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, that your broken body might make each one of us whole. We ask in your name.
Amen. Starting from the second half, once again, of verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25 continues. After the same manner also he took the cup. Can we give thanks for the cup?
Lord, we do thank you for this time where we come before your table this morning, dear Lord. And remember what you did for us, dear Lord, when you went to the cross and died and shed your blood there, dear Lord, that we might accept that gift of your shed blood, dear Lord, on the cross, that we might be able to have our sins washed white as snow, dear Lord. We do thank you for that great sacrifice you made for us. In your name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Rereading from verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Important for Memorial Day. We see that in verse 26. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So, we get ready to close in prayer. I would ask every one of you,
We see what it cost to have the church established. We see what it cost to have it so that the gates of hell will not prevail against Berean Baptist Church. It took the death of our dear Savior. He calls for us to die to self. We may die physically, but we have to die to our carnal desires and be lifted up, remade spiritually. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand on the front lines defending the church against the very gates of hell? If you do, you'll get the victory because Christ will give it to you. It may be by your death. But it says in Romans 8:36 that by our death we are more than conquerors, but be raised to newness of life and hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter down the joy of the Lord with all the host of heaven looking at you. Far better than trying to hold on to your life here and being saved but suffering loss. Or even worse, not being saved at all and hearing, depart from me, ye who worked iniquity. So we're going to go to prayer silently, just as Molly plays one quiet verse. Ask yourself, have I served you the way you want me to? Put me in the battle where you would have me to go. And he has a call for you already. The question is, will you answer that call? Will you answer the mustering call and do what Jesus has you to do? After she's done, I'll close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that the war is won. You sent your Son to die on the cross, to pay my penalty, to make it so that by his death my sins are forgiven, by his resurrection I can be raised to newness of life. Not for anything I've done, Lord, but for your love sending your Son to die for my sins. We see what it takes for victory in the spiritual realm, Lord. We see that it has to have death to self. And you may call us, Lord, to be martyred for your glory. For by that, we are made more than conquerors. For Lord, we show your great grace. We show your great power. We show that the world has no hold on us at all. They can take everything we have, but we don't care because we have a mansion in heaven. And everything they take, Lord, will be burned up at the end anyway. Let us hold on to that joy. Let us hold on to that truth. Let us realize that we are here for a very short time and that we will be with you forevermore. And Lord, let us take our part in the line. Let us remember those who have fallen in the past. Let us honor those who have stood for your glory. And Lord, in honoring them, let us take their place. As they've fallen, we will take their place, stand in the gap, fall if you call us to do, or stand until the rapture. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever your will is, that's what we will do. If there's anybody here who's not saved, Lord, allow today to be the day they understand the cost it took to buy salvation and to accept that free gift by your Son dying on the cross, blood shed to cover sins, that we can stand in front of a holy God, for there is no other way. If they don't understand that, Lord, let them talk to me today, that they may be one more miracle of eternal life, saved, redeemed as being unredeemable. We ask all of your precious sons, in their name. Amen.